Welcome back to Beyond the Uniform. I'm Justin Nasiri, and each week I meet with military veterans to learn about their civilian career, how they got there, and advice for other veterans seeking to do the same. Today is episode number 181, and I just got back last week from the Service to School Summit held in San Francisco. It was so great to meet so many of you at that event. But for those of you who weren't able to attend, I lugged along from Denver to San Francisco a tripod and video camera and recorded the two different panels that I was on. And this episode is actually a recording of the very first panel that I was on. So first of all, I apologize. It was a small room. There was no microphones, and there was no way to set up the camera to get everyone on the panel on mic. So the audio quality is not fantastic. So I apologize for that in advance. This panel is going to be applicable to some of you, and that's those of you who are wondering whether or not to pursue an MBA. That is the bulk of that was the topic that we covered. We off-roaded a little bit, but the bulk of this is basically to answer that question of whether or not it's worth it to pursue going to business school. I want to give you a quick background on the people on the panel. I know it'll be difficult to maybe associate voices with backgrounds, but hopefully you're able to do that. All of these bios are linked in the show notes, so if someone says something that resonates and you want to dig deeper, definitely go to the show notes and find out about those backgrounds. So here's the panel. It's a really impressive group of people. It was facilitated by David Lee. David was one of the very first interviews I did on Beyond the Uniform. You can check out his story. David is currently pursuing an MBA at Stanford Business School. He was Michigan undergrad, 6 years plus in the Marine Corps as an officer, and then went directly to business school. The next person up to his right, we kind of go left to right a lot of the time. So Jamal Eason, he is a senior product manager at Google. He was West Point undergrad. He was a signal officer in the Army. He went to Harvard Business School and then worked at Intel before joining Google. Next up was me. You know me. I was Naval Academy, submarines for 5 years, went to business school at Stanford, went through starting a company for the last 8 years called Storybox, and now I'm chief revenue at a company called Schotzer. And most notably, host of Beyond the Uniform, which has been described in an iTunes review by Andrew Mays as a smooth jazz voice. I still can't get over that. So that's my biggest claim to fame. Next up in the lineup is Ben Faw. I'm actually working to get Ben on the show to interview him. He is the co-founder and chief operations officer at Best Reviews, which was recently acquired by Tronc. And so he had a good exit on that one. He's West Point 07, Army Infantry Officer, Harvard Business School, LinkedIn, various startups, and then starting his own company. Then was actually the first one on there I skipped over, Kill Anderson, who I am interviewing tomorrow. His interview won't go out till later, but Kill is an awesome dude. I cannot wait for this interview. He is the executive director at the Pat Tillman Foundation, arguably one of the biggest and most influential nonprofits in the space helping veterans. He spent over 21 and a half years in the Air Force. He was a Command Chief Master Sergeant and got out and got his MBA at Notre Dame. So really enjoyed his perspective because he's, the opposite of me. I went 5 years and got right out. He was 21 and a half years. And so, and then went into nonprofits as well. So I think he brought a different perspective. And at the very end, I think he had the final words on this. It still stands out in my mind. He's got some thoughts about life and managing your career that I thought were so spot on and made me even more excited to connect with him. Last up on the list was Tim Shea, who I still don't know how to pronounce his last name. Tim was also one of the very first interviews I did. He is the founder and CEO of Media Mobilize, but he's also the co-founder of Service to School. He was the one responsible for this whole event. He was West Point infantry officer. He received both his law degree and business degree. He got his JD and MBA at Stanford. worked at various law firms and startups before starting his own company. So enjoy this panel. I've got one more of these coming up. Bear with the bad audio quality. Just for context, the video camera was set up in the middle of the room. So, you know, you may turn up your volume to hear the panelists speaking, and then when people applaud or laugh, it may jack your volume. Apologies again, but I think the content is really great, and wanted to make sure I shared this. So enjoy this interview as we dive into the panel for the Service to School Summit.
All right, so the next thing we're going to do is we're going to move into the career panel slash MBA recruiting panel. And so all these folks up here, they've gotten their MBAs at some point. And this is just to kind of give you an idea. So we talked about how to get the MBA program, but to what end? Like, so what does the MBA do for you? In hindsight, what do they think about their experience and how it's impacted their career? That's kind of what this panel is about. First thing I want to do is just kind of go down the line and just, I know Cody already introduced yourself, but just kind of say basically what you do now.
I think that's a good start. Just to talk to everyone. I'm currently the executive director for the Pat Tillman Foundation. So, but we're all we'll be the white place.
Right? Sure. So, I'll
skip a little bit more. So, hi, I'm Jamal Leeson. I went to West Point class of 2004 in the Army, stationed in Germany, went to Iraq, did a master's degree in IT at University of Maryland, but then I got my MBA from HBS. And now I'm at Google. I'm a product manager on the Android team.
I'm Justin Siri. I was Naval Academy 2002, submarines till 2007, GSP till 2009. I started a company called Storybox. It's a marketing technology company. Ran that for 8 years, and now I'm chief revenue officer at a technology company called Shotzer.
I'm Finn Farr. I'm a student a little bit, but right now I'm co-founder and CEO at Best Reviews, which is a product reviews website.
Before I talk about myself, I want to talk about this panel, and I'm sure they'll talk more about themselves, but I'll be their hype man. So KILL, ED of Pat Tillman Foundation, if you all don't know about it, it is the foremost veteran. They don't like to think of themselves as a veterans organization, so I'll say like a veteran leadership organization. I'm honored and blessed and grateful to be one of the Tillman Scholars. I've had a tremendous journey because of the Tillman Scholarship. And if you don't apply, or if you apply and you don't get in the first time, I encourage you to apply again. It's just a fantastic community of people. And it honors Pat Tillman, which is important given Memorial Day. So thank you, KILL, for all you do that. Jamal, I want to also be his hype man. You all don't know this, but like every time Android releases like some new features, he's the PM announcing. So like he's the guy that like basically says like, here's what we're going to do to the Android operating system. So if you have a Android phone, Jamal is probably like deciding like what privacy controls can go into those settings, what apps are allowed, et cetera, et cetera. Jamal is a West Point classmate. We walked across the plane a lot, so I can say I knew him when he was a cadet that didn't know anything just like myself. Justin runs a fantastic podcast called Beyond the Uniform. Heavily encourage it. David's been interviewed there. You should hear David's podcast. He drops tons of wisdom there. And then Ben, I think some of you all heard, had an exit with Best Reviews and is a fantastic entrepreneur, someone who really knows the Bay Area entrepreneurship landscape. Short thing about me, JD MBA, Stanford 2014, West Point 2004.
Yeah, and so this is a pretty informal panel, so if you have a question along the way, just throw your hand up, feel free to ask. Even like in between like people, like something catches your attention. But the first question I have for everyone on the panel is just to, you are where you are now. If you can talk a little bit about the journey to where you are now and how the MBA has impacted it or not impacted it, could you be where you are today without the MBA? I think a lot of people are just trying to figure out, is it worth it, right? The time, the money, et cetera. I'll just start with that.
Like I said, I'm currently the executive director at the Tillman Foundation. I started as chief operating officer, and don't get it sounds like real sexy, but it's like, well, just put it on. But Marie, who's Pat's widow, was our president and board chair at the time, hired me and allowed me to go to pursue my MBA. Right around the time that I was completing, she announced that she moved to the board of directors and moved into executive director. That wasn't exclusively because of the MBA, but I me at, so I have, I'm a direct report to the board of directors, you know, and within that group, there's some wealth managers, there's CFO for a Fortune 500 company, guys and gals that are much savvier in finance and things like that than I am. So I wanted to do it to be on better footing with them because we have a pretty medieval monthly financial statement review process with our steering committee. And it was just helpful to get a little bit more of that vernacular and that experience to be able to kind of speak, because it was something, I mean, and to this day, I mean, I'm not going to profess to be as strong as they are in there, but this is, I've learned a lot from and drawn a lot from my NBA experience to help me be successful in my job, particularly with board directors.
So I'd say I did more of a traditional corporate post-MBA route. So right after business school, I actually worked at Intel for about 3 years, doing a rotation of MBA program they have. It's no longer there, so I can't recommend it anymore, but it's a great time, But now I'm looking at Google. And I think just from a, like, what was the value and how I got here perspective. So what I do in my current job as a product manager, I'm responsible for taking idea only for a product and bringing it to market. So I have to understand the business economics, the finance aspect, the users, but also understand the engineering aspect. So my particular role is actually a hybrid of knowing business plus the technical aspect. So for me, when I was back at West Point, I chose my major, I had no idea even what Google was, technical degree wasn't even included. But the MBA that allowed me to do is have this language that's described, because I work with people who are working in finance and marketing and PR and folks, so it gives you the language and vocabulary to be proficient in multiple disciplines. And so as I move to different career roles, I mean, MBA is a sort of this general management qualification. I mean, I think it, I mean, on paper, it allows you to have more like a stamp, like, you know, he or she knows what he's talking about. But, you know, it's not, that's just really kind of the entry to that, to your career, that's able to apply that. And I think going to these top schools allows you to think differently, apply your leadership skills in a different way. And I use that in my career now as a product manager.
And just to add some color to Jamal's role, like, product managers are like the rock stars in like Silicon Valley and at these tech companies. They're like special operations, or they're like the infantry, they're the maneuver, they're the pilots of these tech companies. They essentially build the products that they sell. So if you are interested in technology at all, he's obviously working at Google, please, like, he's a man to ask.
And last analogy to this, I kind of think of it as, whoever's in the Army, Army folks, it's kind of like you're a platoon leader, the kind of role, you turn the strategy, then have engineers who actually execute that. So it's kind of an interesting kind of role, except they don't report to me, so that part's different, but as far as like the structure, that's how that works.
So I'm like the opposite of most MBAs. I feel like most people, at least at Stanford, write their essays talking about going into entrepreneurship, and then they go into finance or into consulting. I wrote all my apps about going to be a consultant and then ended up doing entrepreneurship. I think that's the reason why, for me, an MBA was great. I knew nothing, getting out of the five-year point, I knew nothing about what my options were. And so for me, the 2 years of reorientation was really helpful. And on top of that, just I think it's still ranks as probably one of the best experiences of my life. As soon as this panel's over, I'm grabbing lunch with a bunch of friends here from business school. Most of my friend group came out of the GSP. In terms of where it relates, and I'll just kind of bookmark these if it's of interest to you guys, we can come into it in the Q&A period. I started a company, I actually accepted a consulting offer with McKinsey in New York. I had a 9 month wait until I started there. I started a company in the meantime, fell in love with that, and then reneged on my offer. Was forced to raise about $3 million from Google's chairman, Eric Schmidt. Grew the revenue to about $1 million a year with 35 Fortune 500 companies. And then got this shit kicked out of me for like 6 years. And so, happy to talk about like the very, you know, even honestly, if you're into bios of Ben's, there's still this like raw spot when I hear about this exit. It's like, oh, fuck. It's like that thing that got away. So happy to talk about the non-sexy part of entrepreneurship, the part that people don't really talk about. And then 2 months ago, I started as chief revenue officer. It's a great title. It's a 7-person company, but has been an exceptional experience. And something I think about a lot in the last 2 months is the comparison of being solo founder and CEO for 8 years versus working for other people, and all of the things I've learned and what led to that decision. So if any of that's of interest, we can talk about that.
Yeah, so the non-coolness of startup land and being an entrepreneur, 100% agree with. For every time you're gonna see anything that's happened successful, there's like literally a zillion failures. So I've had many, many startups that I've been involved with that have all ended in kind of a complete miserable failure. And so it's nice to have at least one story that's got some success to it now, at least on some metrics maybe. But I think what I would say from business school's kind of impact, at least for me, it was, the role I got out of business school, one could argue I could have probably gotten some other ways at LinkedIn, but the performance there, some of the most meaningful deals I closed that actually contributed a lot of success to business and a lot of personal kind of income to me were either directly or indirectly related to the network from business school or classmates and friends from kind of those tangential plays. So that was kind of the first, and then the startup that I'm still involved with, I was actually working on at business school with one of my classmates, and so that's the only reason I definitely think I wouldn't be in this seat having the same story without having met him and been involved with that project in its kind of infancy and then being able to continue forward with it. So I think it's changed and altered kind of my professional and personal journey in real meaningful ways already a few years out.
So I think it's a two-part question. Why MBA and how MBA has shaped your career? Why MBA? I think like all of you all, I had no idea what I was going to do post-military. I went to the Service Academy Career Conference, I went to some job fairs, and they just didn't seem like the type of opportunities that were really exciting and meaningful. And so I felt, hey, maybe I'll go do an MBA, get some credentials, and have some more options there. And that hypothesis bore out to be true, generally, and that there's more opportunities. I would say, though, that during my MBA time, I applied to tons of internships. I applied to Google, Facebook, LinkedIn. They all rejected me. And like at the time, I was like so crestfallen. It's just like, great, I get this great MBA degree from Stanford and I can't get a job. Like, oh man, like woe is me. And I share that because I think that some to all of you will experience this, like rejection is just a huge aspect of life, whether it's jobs, dating, you name it, right? So I oftentimes characterize like applying to schools and applying to jobs as much like applying during dating. You have to put yourself out there, and then you also have to do the preparation, right? You got to do the grooming, you got to do the wooing, et cetera, now, in terms of MBA impact on career, I think. Maybe I didn't need an MBA to do what I'm doing now. So for the past 2 years, I've been running an online ad network, bootstrap, profitable. We're not crushing it, but we're doing well, and I think we have a good long pathway as long as we keep our nose clean and just keep our heads down and execute. Basically, we sell online ads on email, newsletters, podcasts, and video. I don't necessarily think that I needed the MBA or I need the MBA to do what I'm doing now. I've seen some people skip the MBA route, and so I think I'd encourage you all to think, do I need this, do I not? I know there are some folks that are thinking about law school, and I'll get with you all sometime today to talk about why I decided to go business versus law school. But I heavily encourage you all, and I know David designed this panel for this reason, to think about your exit rather than thinking about going to an MBA program. There's a balance, give me like 30 more seconds to flesh this thing out. There's a balance between having a defined destination and like going with it. I feel like you need both. Like I think Eisenhower said, the best things about plans are you won't follow them, but like they actually provide some type of backup or some type of like methodology as to how you're thinking about it.
Sure. So you touched a little bit on recruiting. I know this is probably like many, many years ago for you all, but I was wondering if you guys could talk a little bit about what that recruiting process was like when you were in your MBA program. I'm kind of going through it now, but I remember before I started the MBA program, people were like, "Man, it's just so busy, like it's hard." I was like, what is, what exactly is recruiting? Like, what is it about consulting that makes it hard? Like going to like dinners, like that doesn't seem that difficult, right? Like, I just had no idea what people were talking about when they, for example, like being a PM, like cracking the internet. So all these things that I didn't have awareness of, I don't know if I'm falsely or accurately making an assumption that this audience doesn't have, but I was wondering if you could just talk about what your experience was going through recruiting, not knowing what you want to do, but eventually, kind of having to settle on something, right? So if you could just add a little bit of color to that. Any, open it, please.
I'm sorry. So, So I was going, so I went to business school. I was actually thinking I was going to be a consultant, like a lot of people. Oh, consulting, that's what everybody does, making. I didn't want to be making, but so I did a consulting. What that means is that before interviewing starts, you meet various alumni and your classmates who are consultants, and then they have dinners you go to on a Friday night, you meet the directors and executives. And then 3 months into the process, they start doing on-campus interviews, where you basically go through a series of structured interviews about how do you be a consultant, and it's a very structured process. But I think the thing is that, business school, there's so much going on, and I think you think about your classmates who are there, they're in various stages of their life. For me, I need to spend a lot of time on actually interview prep. And so, interviewing, I sort of thought it was like an extra class. So basically, I would say, like, what are the books and materials I need to actually prepare for? And go through those rehearsals and allocate time for this, because there's usually complete conflicts. And then the other part of it is the, it's actually the second year as well. So basically what's kind of unique about business school is that all the companies come to you. For the most part, if you want to do a corporate route, that's there. Entrepreneurship is its own route, which we touched on. So in your second year, what happens in that aspect is basically they're looking at, did you do well in your summer internship, and then how's it going to apply for your second year? And the reality is, stats-wise, at least at HBS, probably 85% of people change their job after 3 years after graduation. So there's a lot of hung up on this first job, but like really, you know, change your job for 3 years anyway. So let's kind of take that as it is. But it's good to have a good set, you know, first job, right? Sort of sets the pathway. But don't think that is the end all be all of what you're going to be in your life. But I didn't get this first job, it didn't work out for me. So really, on second year, is thinking about, how do I either take my summer internship or find something that's my passion. Because what happens many times is, like, I really make it, it's really amazing. You go there for the summer, like, I hate it. I either hate it for another 2 years or realize, hey, I really want to do something that's more passionate about me. So that's really kind of an optionality, I think, with business school, where you can think about, I can change my mind and adjust things. And so I think those are two inflection points, both summer internships and full-time roles that are kind of critical in the process.
So Jamal, another intersection of his life and mine is, I was graduating, I had no idea what I was going to do, got tons of rejections. Jamal had done an Intel leadership program, they were interviewing, and I was like, Jamal, what was it like, should I do it? Had no idea what I was doing, and my email to him was probably really weak, and just like my game is, and Jamal was like, alright, you can use some help, Sam, let's get on a call. He scoped out the Intel leadership program for me, and I just think, who you meet in this room, who you guys meet today, you're gonna meet in successive times in your life, and they could be of help to you, you could be of help to them. So I think that's something I think worth sharing. I think that the MBA program is exceptionally good for veterans because we need some type of decompression. Maybe you could say it's kind of like mountain climbing, you need to adjust on the altitude, or scuba diving, you need to kind of gradually go down and up and back. And so I just think it's a really good opportunity to grow your hair out, unlike me, wear Birkenstocks, and just like understand what is out there in terms of civilian life. I think that one thing I didn't do well, and I tell David this a lot, is really learn from your civilian classmates. I think that I didn't have enough humble pie. I was like, okay, my West Point classmates is my posse. My military folks was my, my best friends. I'm not gonna make like many more, like, I just didn't have a growth mindset. I was like, okay, those are my relationships. I probably should have invested more time in like those relationships with my classmates, because those classmates are gonna be folks who start companies, are gonna be VPs, CEOs in like 5 to 10, 15 years. And so you get out what you invest in.
So every job I've gotten post MBA is actually through my business school. So, poor detail. So, my summer internship, I basically contacted all of the people who graduated within 1 or 2 years after graduation and had like a phone call with them. And what ended up happening is that those are the people who actually have influence with some hires. They all knew my name, like I talked to them prior. So, like, oh yeah, I know Jamal, like I talked to him over lunch, blah, blah, blah. So, it was like I had an advocate for me there. And then for my full time hire at Google, literally got to the split classroom aspect. So, I had projects with various classmates. So, my project mate for my second year, like, hung out a lot of times, so I had a good connection with it. So, she actually referred me to the job, like, right after I graduated. So, everything was to actually be a connection. So, like, I wouldn't shortchange to Tom's point, like, you never know. And it's not like you're trying to manipulate. It's like, networking is really building relationships, and it's getting to know people. And, curious about that. You know, you just don't know what's going to happen in the future.
I'd say I have no doubt that every single person in this room, when you lock on to what you actually want to do, you'll crush it. I think that you will do really well. I think as a military community, and I've interviewed 170 veterans at this point, once we identify what we want, we're unstoppable. I think the thing that got in my way, and most of my classmates, non-military included, was you're at this buffet, and it's like, where do I start? And so in retrospect, that lack of focus was really what took its toll. So first year when we're interviewing for our internships, everyone's interviewing for everything. And in retrospect now, you know, 10 years out, the people that at the time were interviewing for consulting, I'm like, I could never in a million years see that person being a consultant. But it's just, you get so wrapped up in like, I can do anything, should I be doing this? And that fear of missing out. So I think that specific focus is what I would recommend. And I think that what Tim said is the best way to narrow down on it. If you can talk to your classmates and you're like, you know what, the PE guys, the private equity guys are a bunch of assholes, you can rule that out as a career path, and you can use these little limited data points in the same way that I did at the Naval Academy, where I'm like, the submarine guys, I kind of get along with those guys, maybe I should check that out. One other thing I'd echo on Jamal is, so I've got my 10-year reunion coming up. My experience has been, I and everyone freaked out for our applications, telling a compelling story of what I wanted to do after graduation. I got in, it changed, freaked out about my summer internship. We did that, everyone hated it, so we changed our story again, went after graduation for something else, and this has continued every 2 years. And 10 years out, I literally was just talking to a friend on the way over here who just sold his company, and he's like, I have no fucking clue what I'm gonna do. And I'm like, you know, this is like a 40-year-old man, and you're like, get your shit together. But it's like everything. So I just say that to say, like, I know there's a lot of pressure. I'm not trying to minimize that. But if you can approach this as the process, you're learning the process of what it's like to evaluate a career. And if you pull the trigger and you're so wrong, great, you close a door. And one of the profs that we had at business school, Joel Peterson, this guy is the executive chairman for JetBlue Airlines. He said, look, you will make the most money in your career between age 40 and 50. And so every, or maybe it was 50 to 60. I should really get that quote right. Let's just call it 45 to 55, play down the road. He's like, look, everything you do up until then is just placing yourself in the position so when you hit 45, you just crush it. And so from that standpoint, what you do your first 2-3 jobs, you're just at the buffet getting a few tastes, and you're like, I don't like that, I don't like that, let's mix these things together, and this is what I want to spend my life doing.
Yeah, I'd say I talked with Justin about a year ago, and I really like that buffet analogy, and he said for him, business school is like, you got all these doors open, and it's about slamming them shut as fast as you can, right? As soon as you know that's not for you, slam it shut, move on to the next one, right? Because your time's limited, and all this anxiety and stress that they're talking about, I'm kind of going for it now, right? But I have no doubt that, you know, everyone here, like, just kind of go through it and figure it out, and life finds a way. But I'm curious, Tim, we talked about, you thought you might not need an MBA, right? And so, you know, I want to start with maybe you or Justin, because Justin's talking to like hundreds of veterans, many who have not gotten their MBA, and many who have found tremendous success in whatever their passion is, whatever they're interested in. Right? So I'm curious for people who are on the fence, right? We're selling the MBA pretty hard, but what's the concept? What should they thinking of? What should they be thinking about in terms of what, maybe why not?
Let me specify, which is what I currently do with the online ad network, medium-wise, I do not need any skills I learned at business school. It was my first job out of business school, just at $25,000. But did I need that maturation and that emotional development and that decompression that I talked about? Probably, potentially. But I also, because I did a joint degree at Stanford, I marinated at Stanford for 4 years, and that was way too long. I think I've answered the question.
It's tough. I think that, you know, a lot of I've stopped interviewing MBAs because I think we've got that set pretty well covered. It's very unique, it's very individual. I think the advantage of an MBA is it's the giant reset button for anyone. I had a classmate who was a performer on Broadway. His resume bullet was literally Stunt Beast Understudy for Beauty and the Beast. So like that guy went on to do whatever else. So it's a great reset button, which is good for us because most of us don't know what we want to do. And not to be condescending, but I even when I talk to people who are on active duty and they're like, I want to get out and do blockchain, I'm like, great, but like, it's the same feeling when my five-year-old niece is like, I want to be a firefighter. I'm like, that's great, but you have like no context for this. So I would even challenge and say, like, it's just good to get a lot of different data points and actually test what you want to do. The downside is, if you're going into tech and entrepreneurship, I think it's becoming more and more unessential. And if you believe you want to go into tech or entrepreneurship, I think if you can get in to a great company like Facebook, LinkedIn, Google, Slack, you know, there's probably 40 to 50 companies that are really good. That by far is going to be much better training. Because what I regret about my MBA, what, $120,000, $180,000, so we can break that down to price per hour, my hours were spent learning what an investment banker were. Whereas my consultant friends were like learning frameworks and skill sets. Like, I skimmed this level of value out of my education, and all the people who had business backgrounds were going so much deeper. And most of that is training you to be CEO of a Fortune 500 company, not to be, you know, figuring out how to set up Comcast for your internet startup. So I think that the hands-on experience for entrepreneurship is the one path that I'd say try to go that route. But the reorientation period of MBA is really powerful. And I've got the longest hairs here, so I'm going to say I'm probably the most left-leaning of the group. I was going to say, I was pretty liberal in the military. I had such an unexpected and drastic adjustment period in business school. I thought I was like Joe Civilian from, you know, compared to my submarine classmates, and it was still such a drastic getting my feet underneath me. And so you guys, most, if I'm judging by hair, you guys have an adjustment too. But I think MBA is really good for that. It's a low risk environment to get some of that out.
One tactical tip I'd recommend, if possible, right, this is not possible for many of you all, is to do a civilian internship before MBA. I think it just, to Justin's point, will get you maybe not jogging, but walking into your MBA program as opposed to a cold start. So I know Brendan did an internship at Goldman Sachs that just finished. David did one at Doximity before. And how you go about doing that, one is, to Jamal's point, you network in. And networking in for veterans is the best thing, because like networking when you help a GSB or Stanford classmate feels like, you're just helping another buddy who's already has all the kind of resources he or she needs. But when you're helping another veteran, it's like, great, I can help someone who really needs like help. The other one is talking to your career services. Oftentimes, or sometimes, depending on that MBA program, they might have some resources out there so you can do that. And I'd say even if it's just like shining shoes, literally, it's just some type of civilian thing that's completely unrelated to the military. So you have some type of civilian understanding of like revenue, sales, operations, etc.
I have a follow-up question for Justin. So you mentioned that an MBA is potentially not as useful if you're going on an entrepreneurship route. I have to imagine it's pretty useful when you're trying to raise money from investors.
That's a great question. Okay, wait. Yeah, totally. I mean, top 10 MBA, I think, is going to be like a great calling card. It gives you credibility. There was still a lot of pushback when I was raising money around like ex-military guy, no business experience. And having the, I mean, actually every single person I raised from came from the Stanford network. There's no way I would have gotten a meeting, let alone gotten the money. So it is helpful for that. But I think there's ways around that, where if you work at, you know, Google for a couple of years and meet someone cool and then you guys raise money. Like, I think that a blue chip name like a Google, it's just how much credibility you guys need. You have probably military academy, you have military service, you get one really great business on your resume. It's like, I think we can get addicted to stacking credibility on our resume. It's like, I don't think you need much more than a year or two stint at a great company.
Before Park mentioned, I used to do venture investing for Angel Capital, and so I used to look at companies for a period of time. And that first introduction can be hard. So if you are just one person emailing me, like if I have that one connection with someone from military or our business school, like it does go a long way. So it's a little more intangible value, but like it's definitely, hey, I want to do this, like if I don't know one in the space, I most likely in the HBS network I can find someone who can make a connection or some sort of bridge that's there that I wouldn't have otherwise.
To Tim's point about free MBA internship, one of my goals for you all leaving here is to really like hammer home the value of like networking, because I know that's an
cool muscle to exercise. That internship I got, so I was an admin, I wasn't even a student, right? And I was talking to Justin at the time. He was talking me through, like, you know, I was very much to be, I was like, admin, tech? Like, tech's this massive industry. Like, okay, so what is tech? And he was kind of helping me narrow it down. And basically, he sent an email to the Bay Area alumni, GSP alumni on my behalf, and that was literally how I got the internship, right? So I think a trend here is that everyone finds their opportunities not through this egalitarian, you know, meritocratic job posting type of format. So that's just one more data point. So something that we tried to do today is to get a pretty broad cross-section as much as possible. I don't think I did a great job, but here at Kill is a nonprofit. We have tech, entrepreneurship, just in touch and consulting a bit, tech again. I'm curious to know, a lot of, to what you said, a lot of folks show up to the MBA program and they don't even know what's happening. Like, what's in finance? Like, what's private equity, and what's the difference between that and investment banking and venture? What are all these things, right? Search fund, and these terms mean nothing to you. I mean, that's the point, right? So my question is, can we shed a little bit of light on what's out there, right? What's available that you weren't even tracking on when you were in a, you know, transitioning?
I mean, I think the biggest thing about, and I don't disagree with anything that's been said about the cons of an MBA, particularly if you're trying to do tech, and the opportunities for veterans now at Facebook, Google, so many of these companies are literally, even 3 years ago, they're literally 10x better. There's ways to actually get in. But I would say, when you think of the opportunity of not where you came from, which is one side, where you could be an actor or a Broadway or whatever, but where you can go, not just right out of an MBA, but even like 2 years after, if you do a stint of whatever, it's pretty like unlimited. Like, if there's a job out there, there's a way you can get into it, literally bar none, and that includes essentially the globe. I've got, you know, different friends and classmates who are doing everything from basically an Instacart variant in Moscow to, you know, they did an ICO and they have a blockchain startup, to people doing farming in Africa, of course, all the nonprofit spectrum. So I think that it's almost, to David's point of like the things you can do, it's much more of like, what can you not do? And I'd say the real key item you can't do, you're gonna be really hard pressed to become an astronaut, because you're gonna need to have that right kind of PhD and probably like engineering or something. So if you want to be an astronaut, I wouldn't recommend an MBA. But if there's anything else in like the world of either business, government, nonprofit, like it doesn't matter what it is that you think might be interesting, there's a way you can start researching it, find out about it. And you can do that outside of an MBA too, but use the MBA as a launching pad into almost all of that stuff if you really focus on it and hustle towards it.
And everything I said, I would still go back and do the MBA 100%, so you can maybe ignore that advice. But I would just say that if you go to beyonduniform.io, the reason I started that show is that I believe veterans can do absolutely anything. MBA is definitely a stepping stone to that, but literally on the front page, there will be 10 different career blocks, and you click on it, and you've got 20 or 30 interviews of vets who took different paths to go there. And so, obviously, plugging my own thing, but one of the reasons I've done that is if you're looking at operations, you can, one, hear from the veteran explaining what operation is, and have five different interviews, people who went to MBA, people who went directly there, people who did something else and then did that. So I think that, you know, the MBA will help you get the lay of the land, but there's ways like Beyond the Uniform or grabbing coffee with people or having conversations. You want to get as many data points as possible as quickly as possible. And so, for example, at Stanford, you have Wednesdays off. So I would spend Wednesdays doing little internships with different companies. You don't need a ton of data. You know, you can do a couple days at a company to be like, I don't like 1 to 10 person companies. Okay, great. What about functional role? What about industry? And those are kind of the three levers I think of. Maybe geographic area. Geographic area, industry, functional role, and size of company. Those are the four levers you get to play with to start to get a feeling on the first job you're going to take, which you're going to hate, and then go on to the next one and get more data.
So I did a ton of recruiting, and actually I have a career coach at HBS, the area there, I could talk to at some point. But there's two buckets, like, it's kind of a question, that you can do. There's operational and services. So who wants to do banking, perhaps? Is that something interesting? Okay. Consulting. So those two things are both called services. And so it basically means you are helping some other company do their actual job. And most of your classmates in business school come from these industries, so it's a very sort of self-fulfilling sort of bubble of, oh, I've been consulting, I've been consulting, I've been making, right? But I think consulting is actually pretty universal, meaning like we're going to come with your company and find a problem with it and find some innovative way to solve the problem. So that's consulting. But banking is quite broad. And I think the reality is that there's jobs that are really hard for you to do for business school if you're not making a private. So you're going to hear like private equity, venture capital, like those things are really cool and sexy. However, there's like two people or three or firms that actually hire, and they're looking for companies that are done making prior. So like it kind of like it sounds cool, but like maybe think of that as a long-term play. So really I think banking kind of comes down to two things. It's like investment banking or private wealth management. Investment banking, just very briefly, is looking at if a company wants to, you know, you heard talk about IPO, initial public offering, like raise money from the public and have people buy shares. There's a banker who assesses what's the value of your company, and there's usually hundreds of like folks like sitting there like crunching numbers, figuring out how much money can we actually value a stock price for. And that's what you do like day and night, you do this all the time. The other bucket is private wealth, is basically saying there's a bunch of rich people around here who need help managing their money. You're basically a consultant helping them like help them make more money. That's what that does. So banks tend to hire veterans in these two buckets of categories for finance. And so the other things are kind of cool and sexy, like they're really hard to get into relatively, but I think they are a play for veterans. So then, but what happens many times is veterans like, you know, I actually want to do something, I want to have some impact. And sometimes they're not fulfilled in these two buckets. And this is why it comes to more operational. So it might be like working for a corporation or doing your own thing. And I think what tends to happen after some internship or at least one or 2 years after business school, realize, hey, I don't like working for someone else, doing something else, I want to actually do my own thing. So if you can come to grips thinking, actually, I want to work for a company and do my own thing, that could eliminate potentially a summer internship or 2 years post-MBA that's kind of the end of your passion. So it's actually my story. I realized consulting, I like talking to people, but I actually like doing something at the end of the day, say, like, I've accomplished something, it's a needle in some fashion. And so in my second year, I kind of eliminated the entire consulting stint because I realized in my summer internship, I was working at Intel, I had a big consultant like on a phone call telling us interesting information, but I realized I don't want to be that person on the phone, like being an outsider helping a company. So that helped me assess that. So it's hard to come to assess that at this point in your career. So as mentioned, talking to folks, seeing what they actually do, like the podcast, let me assess, like, should I do the services thing, which all my classmates end up doing, or should I just go right into actually doing the thing with the actual functional company? And that might be more your passion.
Well, I'm a little, my situation is a little bit different in the executive program, right? So, I would say that my demographic is about 460 people. There's actually, probably I'd say about a third to half of them that were dissatisfied with what they were currently doing. They might be on private wealth management. I don't think I want to do this anymore. Because Ben's point about being the launching pad is that MBA was going to help them be a little bit more versatile to go make inroads into another sector. They've been strictly this for all the time. So, that's how I saw it. Is mostly the reason that most of the executives were in there. So, program I was in targeted folks that had a minimum of 10 years of experience, kind of out in the real world outside of that. But to Justin's earlier point, like people's plans change, right? Their family members change, where they live, their parents help, all kinds of different things happen to you. You have to be agile to that and willing to go maybe do something else. So many of them were in there for some, there was a handful in there that were just trying to keep progressing along the track that they were on, probably a third of them. And I'd say about the other, another third or so, maybe a little bit more, was literally trying to make a pivot to go into something else in the business kind of field and just wanted to round out their skill set.
Are there any questions? Realize that they really provide a lot of space. Yeah, please.
What were you looking for your first job going out of high school?
I can start. By the time I got to that place and had done an internship, I was thinking a lot about the fact that I've been around this cohort of people and to everyone's kind of point, realized they already knew a lot more about business than me. A lot of them already had like 4 or 5 years experience. I was like, where do I go where none of these people are? I like them as people. They're awesome. But guess what? Why would I go as a veteran to a place where I'm immediately disadvantaged? Because the guy to my left and right has essentially 4 or 5 year head start on me. And so that's what led me to try basically looking at sales organizations. And that's where I landed at LinkedIn. yeah, there's other like people from top business schools and all these top places at LinkedIn, but in the sales org, actually selling, there's basically no one who comes from MBAs, by and large, at least when I was there. And so that was my criteria, and it ended up being super interesting because there's this kind of mentality in some sales organizations of like, oh, MBAs like are, you know, arrogant or don't want to do the hard work, and you just show up humble, and of course with the veteran background, you're automatically a little different than a normal person might be perceived, and you know, outwork everyone, and there's opportunity. So that was kind of how I framed it.
Two meta thoughts, one on what Kill said and one on what Ben said. Kill just reminded me that for MBA and executive MBA, 2/3 or more of your classmates are refugees, just like us, right? We're really trying to find a pivot. Like, we're all going to the MBA program because what we're doing right now is not happening. Otherwise, we'd still be continuing. So I find that pretty insightful and interesting. What Ben said that I think is, I emphasize a lot, is everything is sales. Especially veterans 10 years ago who said, oh, you do sales, they'd be like, I'm not gonna do sales. I don't sell stuff. I don't know how to sell stuff. But everything you do in life is sales. Your admissions essay is a sales statement. It's an influence statement. Whether you're a PM at Android, you need to convince your team, and that's negotiation, that's persuasion / sales. I'm heavily involved in sales these days, and sales is a beautiful thing when your customers are happy and they want more, right? Like, so retention. That's how I measure really successes of businesses, is like, how retentive are your customers? How much are they gonna come back? And if you sell a product and they're coming back, then sales is a beautiful thing for all parties.
Sure, just one last question for everyone. What would you tell yourself in hindsight? Well, I mean, what's the advice that you'd use? It seems like we've kind of gotten like a good snapshot of, you know, where you are today. And not necessarily like advice for the audience, right? But for yourself, personally, what are those lessons learned in hindsight that you wish you would have known, or you know, advice that you give to yourself?
You're saying prior to the
yeah,
like,
yeah,
as far as our MBA experience goes, or how like the impact is where we're headed?
Yeah, I'd say like starting your MBA. Are there any like lessons learned, like hey, like don't worry about this, or actually focus on this? I know yesterday we were talking about MBA is a great time where you should really be expanding your network, right? As a student, you can reach out to any alum and they're like, sure, what do you need, right? Because they just love students because they know they've been there, they know you're lost, they know that feeling. And then after you graduate, you're an alum, right? So you have the kinship, but as a student, like, people will bend over backwards for you. So I know Ben mentioned that, yeah, that this is the time to really kind of, you know, lay the ground for your network. But that's just one example. I'm curious to know.
Justin hit it with a 45 to 55 is going to be our most lucrative financial years. I almost would say it might be 45 to 70. I see George Shultz, who lives in the city. He was the Secretary of Commerce, Secretary of like Labor, Chicago Dean. The man's like 90, kicking and crushing, right? And so why am I giving you this story about George Shultz? Because I think all of us should invest for the long run, and all of us should be marathon runners. And that means you need to prioritize not this immediate job stuff that all of us have, Jamal's hit on a lot, which is, you know, you're gonna skip every 2 years, but your family, your health, your relationships, and clearly do well at work, and then everything will flow from there, in my opinion.
I'll just echo what Tim had said earlier. I really regret not having had work experience prior to, or civilian work experience prior to business school. Even a month would have gone a long way. And so if I could have done 3 months ideally, that would have been incredible. And then on a personal note, don't date classmates. I think I got out pretty gung-ho and probably backed that off a little bit.
The focus and the balance that kind of Tim touched on, if there's one thing I did right, very pleased with, I kind of stuck with, you know, I know a lot of us from the military have got a routine with like daily exercise or whatever those things might be, but I really stuck with it at school and then post with like every morning starts with exercise. And it really, you'll see, there'll be ups and downs and there'll be infinite failures, or hopefully not in your cases, but there were for me. And having that steady drumbeat, I think, helps with like everything the rest of your day. I know Tim's pretty rigorous about this as well. that and then like keeping up with sleep and stuff and just basic health, I think actually is a, you can formulate a habit and a routine that then scales into your professional kind of private sector career that can be pretty helpful. And then what I would change is I was just way too worried about money the whole time. In a way that in hindsight, even literally as I think I touched on the panel before this, the year after business school was like, this was so stupid. Like I've got, you know, way more money than I need for my very, very frugal style of living. So I think the whole time there, I was probably 20-30% of my bandwidth was stressed about money that I should have completely not been.
For me, two things. One family. So I think in the military, you're something other, you're thinking or dating, you know, it's difficult deploying and other things of that nature, but like, you know, there's life afterwards of that life period. So like, you know, spending time making sure you find that right zone for me, and that I did. But I, you know, balancing that time maybe isn't as important as for a long term gain, because work, or always work will be there, but like, what's the rest of your life look like? I think the second thing is more tactical business school. I knew I had a passion, even though right now, since I knew I wanted technology. But still, it's called following the herd. Like, I got to come to McKinsey because everyone else is going to McKinsey. I spent so much time doing this other stuff that I knew, like, I just didn't work that hard. So, like, instead of that part saved me, like, weeks, hours of my day, just to focus on what I wanted to do going to school and not get caught up with everyone else's dream, because that's not what I want to do.
So I kind of subscribe to the belief that you kind of lay the grass and figure out where to put the sidewalks later. Does that make sense? Is that, because you'll see where the path is and your path needs to be from that. So, you know, when I think back about like business school, I think there's a lot of pressure on people as they approach business school, like they have to have this complete laser focus on where they want to go. And the fact is, you know, as somebody who's, I'm waiting for the big income to kick in, I'm 46, maybe I'm 50. But, you know, one thing I wish I'd pay more attention to is the older you get, more of these kind of tugs that emerge on you that weren't really part of my planning factor earlier on, if that makes sense. So when you start a family or your parents are getting older, the combination of where you want to be working and then what you can do within the framework of your larger context, it's kind of interesting to kind of reconcile that. So at 46, with the 21-year-old son, he's off in college, he's good. All right, good luck to you. I got a high school daughter, but like where I live matters. How many times I move matters. Where she's going to go to school matters. How old my parents are matters. So there is also there's a fair degree of I want to go do this and I might be really great at this, but can you do that and pay attention to these other things that I would argue are much more important and will grow in value to you as you get older. It's much easier to be super careers at 27, 28, 30, 35, and you get a little bit older and suddenly there's all these other tugs. So now it's important to me, which I would never have seen 20 years ago, is living closer to my parents. It's like the most important thing. Like I feel like I'm in the wrong place at some point. I'm gonna have to get back over there. Maybe not everyone has that situation, but maybe it's a brother or sister or a friend that requires help. So so go in the general direction of where you think you want to go. That path, allow for that path to meander a little bit. Keep making progress towards it. The MBA may be the logical thing to work towards that. But be ready for all this other stuff that if it hasn't emerged, it's coming. Right? It's coming. For all of you, I'm telling you, there's going to be something out there that's going to command some of your attention, some of your time and energy. So have a do-over, I guess I would be a little bit more mindful of that because I think you meet yourself in a very narrow track. It's not going to give you the flexibility that you both want and probably will need later on down the road.
Eric, thank you.
Thanks so much for listening. I've got more interviews coming up. Let me know what you think of this sort of format. I'm trying to do a little bit more in-person events. This was a great experiment. It was just most rewarding to hear the feedback from the audience, see what they're thinking about, get more engaged with the military community, and also meet so many of you in person. That was the highlight by far. Quick reminder, there's three ways that I could use support. The first is donations, top right button on the website. This is all self-funded and takes a couple $100 a month to run this. So if you're enjoying the show, donations are appreciated. Second of all, we are just kicking off a sponsorship program. If you know of a company that would like to get in front of active duty military audience for either hiring or if they sell products or services related, starting to sell advertisements, which we'll start putting at the beginning and middle of the show. Hoping to do that. It's the ideal way to fund this, just because that way the listeners are not paying for it, but I'm able to cover costs. Third, and definitely not least, if neither of those appeal to you, please spread the word. Find ways to get the word out on Facebook, on LinkedIn, any way that you can get in front of other veterans to make them aware of this resource would be greatly appreciated. Have a great week. Back next week with more interviews, and talk soon.